You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 318. And I believe this episode will air as the final episode of the year for 2025 as we move into 2026. And so, first of all, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And as we reflect on Christmas, it's important to reflect on the purpose of Christmas and, you know, really stop and rest, stop and delight in the goodness of God and in this specific work of God. You realize the act of Christmas, or the event of Christmas, I should say, is a profound movement in certainly human history and divine intervention in the human condition. The beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, God, very God, who took on flesh and came as a man so that ultimately he could go to the cross to deal with all human sin, so that we can be purchased by his blood. We see that beautiful, sentimental statement all throughout Scripture. I mean, think of Acts chapter 20, you know, where the elders are encouraged to support and protect the flock of Christ, whom he purchased with his blood. The beautiful recognition that it is the work of Jesus Christ that ultimately brought about our redemption, that brought about our reconciliation back to the Father. And what a beautiful and amazing and glorious thing it is to behold this beautiful, beautiful intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, stepping out of eternity, out of the glorious presence of God in heaven, and came to earth for our good and for our sake. And we see all of that, you know, for the great purpose of God directly intervening for us, God doing all this for us. I mean, think of all the classic Christmas texts. I mean, one example is Isaiah 9, right? The people walking in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in darkness in the land, the light will shine on them. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. And the zeal of Yahweh of hosts will accomplish this. I mean, what a beautiful picture of God with his people. And, you know, not just the coming of Jesus and not just the work of Jesus on the cross, but keep in mind that, you know, the revelation of Jesus coming is the revelation of God's sovereign plan, the plan that God before time, that God before Genesis chapter 3, before man even sinned, shoot, before man was even created, God sovereignly had a plan. And that plan did not involve human effort. It did not involve human willingness to participate. It didn't even follow human repentance, right? The love of God, as we're told in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, was revealed in this way, that God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we could be saved. You know, and it was not as a product that we loved God, but that he loved us. This is the beauty of God's redemptive purpose. Before all time, God fully and sovereignly intended to send the Son. And it's the revelation. Jesus is the real revelation, the embodiment of God's good purpose, of God's good plan for us, for humanity. And ultimately, it's the revelation of God's good redemptive purpose. And I think it's worth recognizing that this intervention of God, this effort of the Son, this eternal reign of the Lord is one in which God is actively involved with us at every level. It's one in which God is not just finished. It's not like the work of God is done and now God in sort of a deistic sense is just off afar, recognizing salvation has been bought through the blood of Jesus, and so no longer is there involvement. Instead, what we see presented to us in God's word is that the full Trinity, all three persons of this one God that we worship, Father, Son, and Spirit, are actively and regularly involved in our life, in our walk, every day, and in every way. You know, the Father sent the Son. The Son became our redemption, the redemption that we need. And of course, the Holy Spirit is and works to sanctify us, to draw us to the Father and the Son. I mean, we see this coming of the Lord first, right? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. And so God comes and he presents himself to us as the propitiation for our sins. And after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, proving that he has dealt with sin, proving that we, through him, by faith, through his grace, based on his work, based on his blood shed for us, we are able to be restored in relationship with him. But the story is not done. God is still actively involved. God is still actively engaged. The Holy Spirit is still working to actively bring about our redemption, to bring about our reconciliation. You know, 1 Peter 1:2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. So the Holy Spirit is busy, actively at work, seeking our sanctification, drawing us closer to the Lord. And at the same time, the Father is still actively involved. He is actively involved in the holding of our salvation. He has us. He holds us. John 10, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have given eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And so the Father's busy holding your salvation, holding you to himself. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you have turned your heart and mind and life over to him, the Father is actively involved in holding you. And at the same time, the Son is still involved. While his work of redemption is done on the cross, it is completed and finished through his blood, he is still actively involved in our faith, in our walk to this day. We're told in God's word that the Lord Jesus Christ is serving this purpose of offering up for us the advocacy before the Father, that the Son's work is actively working for our good, cheering us on, turning down any accusations from the devil with claims on us in terms of our state before the Lord. You know, he's there to say, nope, that one's mine, that he belongs with me, and advocating for us to walk in the Lord and pursue in the Lord, being that perfect advocate for us and for our good. And we see that, you know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, right? I am writing these things so that you do not sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or Hebrews chapter 7 presents the advocacy of Jesus as our great high priest, who continues as our great high priest eternally, able to advocate for us. You know, unlike all these other high priests who, while they made a temporal or insufficient sacrifices for the people, once for themselves and once for the people, they would ultimately die, and then another high priest would come along, and another high priest would serve that role. But unlike them, Jesus is able to continue to serve as our perfect high priest eternally. He is never prevented by death anymore, because once resurrected, his work was done. The penalty of sin was done, and Jesus then remains as our perfect high priest king eternally, there advocating for us. And at the same time, even the work of the Holy Spirit is not done for us, as he actively works to draw us into the truth of the Lord, into the knowledge of God, into an understanding of who God is and what God's good is, and how we can continue to walk and live in accordance with God's good will and God's good design. This is the beauty of a God who is absolutely relational. This is the beauty of a God who is absolutely involved. This is the beauty of a God who continues to intercede, to advocate for us as we live and walk as the people of God in this world. And so the full Trinity, all of God, this beauty that we celebrate in Christmas, the coming of the Lord Jesus, the beauty of that is a God who is actively involved at every level with his sovereign plan, with his sovereign purpose, with his redemptive arc, with our sanctification and our salvation and our sanctification and even our glorification, and into the presence and glory of God himself, into the place where we have a redeemed body, where we walk in a newness of life in the direct holiness of God, in the direct glory of God, in the actual presence of God. He is actively involved and at work with us. That's the beauty, friends, what we celebrate this Christmas. It's the beauty of the work of God that is to come, and the beauty of the work of God that has not yet been fulfilled, but God is still actively at work doing. And the beauty, it all wraps up so nice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "For I am confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, friends, what a beautiful reality that we have a real relational opportunity and relationship with a God who is actively seeking us, a God who is actively walking with us, a God who is actively searching for our good, wanting to lead us into all truth. And so as we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus and his gift for us this Christmas, I would invite you, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let this Christmas be the time for you to do that. Let this Christmas become the moment of turning your heart over to the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, I don't totally necessarily get all of this, but I do know that I am a sinner. I do know that I have violated the good holiness of God, and I need you as the Lord of my life. And for the rest of us who are believers in Jesus, it's an invitation to just delight in the goodness of a God who keeps on walking with us, who keeps on engaging with us at every level of our life, and will continue to engage with us at every level of our life until we finally find our eternal home in the presence of the glory of the Lord. Let that knowledge just bring you great delight, an invitation to see the glory of God this Christmas. So from Jason and I here on this podcast, we want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas as you delight in the goodness of God. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.